in the world of recording, apparently. Let's say hi to Maurice Misolowski, who's just down the road from Jared today. How are you?
Very, very good. It's lovely here. It's 21. Blue skies.
Because you're about to get into summer, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Yeah, all of that.
You've had your share of some pretty nasty weather these past few months, though, so I think you deserve a bit of sunshine.
Oh, it hasn't been that bad. It's been a bit cold, but it's not that bad.
You've got a cold? My spidey senses tell me you're not feeling too good.
I have. It's the gift that grandchildren keep giving.
Love them. All right, then. Well, today we want to talk about voices, really. The couple of articles going around. There's an interesting one in the ABC. Basically, AI clones and AI voices apparently are getting artists worried. I really don't know what the answer is to this one.
Yeah, me either. It's not just the ABC, you're right. The ABC is our it's our national provider. You're absolutely right. This is what the article's about, but it's also the Americans. They've gone out on strike on it too in the past. It's this whole notion that artificial intelligence, this thing that's pretending to be us online, or pretending to be whatever we want it to be, could be us and could take over from us.
It always comes down to that, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? It's always very Arnold Schwarzeneggery. You know, the world is coming to get us. But really, that's what the gist of this thing is, that artificial intelligence might one day do away with the thing that you and I are doing right now, which is human conversation.
Go on, Maurice, you first.
I was going to say, that's quite extraordinary that we think that that might be what it's going to be. But that's what this article's about, and that's what they're upset about in the States. Some of it makes sense, Phil.
It does, Maurice. It does make sense. We all use it. I mean, I just give it the crummy jobs, to put it really succinctly.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old days where we had the juniors come in to do their work experience. But there's a fine line between it. You know, where we use it as a tool and we're not taking away from a human, I think it's okay. And that's kind of the rule, I think, that we have to apply for the moment until we know better. What the issue is, both in America and here and anyone else that's an artist that makes a living from their voice, says me, losing.
Well, where do you think AI voices come from? A lot of them are voiceover artists. Let's not forget that.
Well, they are, absolutely. You know, we're still using humans to kind of initiate that. It's okay. The big fuss and the who knows what's going to happen question is, will we do away with humans altogether, and will we just synthesize voice?
There is something to consider. There is something to consider on this one. Training an AI voice is quite labor-intensive. A voiceover guy could come in, boom, 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 you're listening too, thank you very much. Sometimes AIs get really moody, and sometimes they get really cranky, and you have to go away and have a cup of tea and come back and then carry on working with it. I swear that happens.
Yeah, you're right, Phil, but I'm laughing because I don't think it's any different from anyone else I've ever worked with. The voiceover people that I know, and I do a bit of voiceover too, it's not something you can pick up. It's not something most people can pick up straight away. I'm not defending either.
No, I know it's not.
It's not as easy as picking up a script and just reading the words to a microphone. It actually is a skill, and there's a talent, and those that do particularly well do particularly well. So I'm not advocating for it, but you know, there's always been a learning curve, and with AI, it's the usual comment I make to it. It's not really all that important what it is today. It's what it's going to be in, you know, a year or 2 years or 3 years, and that will be something that won't make you quite as cranky and will do it quite quick.
There's something interesting. I mean, labour is the interesting point. Just from the little tiny bit I know about it, labour intensity is key. If you want an AI voice to sound really good, you've got to make it do its thing, then you upload the file and you play with the file, you get the human pacing right, you might do a bit of EQ, you do all sorts of stuff so that somebody will say, oh, that sounds good, and they won't say, oh, that's a robot. So it's probably easier to get a voiceover guy in, to be frank.
I think it is for the moment, but I'm pretty sure that won't be the case in about a year or so. I'm doing stuff now. I'm doing stuff on AI now that a year ago was really awful. So I like to create an image for every piece that I do as an article or on stage. And I've used AI as a tool for that for the last couple of years. It's been laborious, I must say. I felt exactly like you. I gave up halfway through.
Oh, it's fun, Maurice. I want to give up, but it just gets creepy when the thing starts to misbehave. Literally misbehave.
But to that, you know, now, I mean, literally in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I'm getting images, literally one-offs. So I'm now able to give it an instruction. Either it's kind of given up the ghost and just said, give him what he wants,
yeah,
because he's going to argue with me, or it just has found a way around what I want, and I'm literally getting one-offs now.
Are you becoming that guy you were telling us about last time, that new job? I can't add something engineer or whatever it was.
The prompt engineers.
Yeah.
The prompt engineers, yeah. I mean, I think many people that are using AI are kind of that without knowing it, because you have to learn how to talk to it. It's got its own language,
yeah,
and at this stage, it doesn't really want to do what you want it to do. It's a petulant child in the best sense that it is an infant. It's new. It doesn't really know.
It either gets excited and wants to learn with you, or it literally gets peed off and just starts talking gibberish. And there's no rhyme nor reason for when it's going to do this. I swear, it's creepy.
You're absolutely right. And my favourite is when it takes you into cul-de-sac and it refuses to leave.
And it refuses.
So if I'm doing something, if I'm asking it for something and it's done it wrong and I keep repeating it's wrong and do it this way, it just goes back. It literally spits the dummy and just keeps going and going. And that to me is the most frustrating thing. That's when I bring the brick out and just turn it off.
So you might have answered your own question. I mean, people, I think, haven't people said, oh, it's going to put us out of jobs since Pontius was a pilot and a new invention came along. I remember, you know, musicians, when West End shows started using a lot more synthesizers and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, granted, it was wonderful when you had the full X-piece orchestra. But the battle cry was, it's putting us out of work. And frankly, it probably did.
Yeah, but it also made it easy, didn't it, to be able to spread, to go into other places, not to have a full orchestra, but to have the same experiences. Again, as always, I'm advocating for both sides because I like to sit on the fence a lot. But you know, there's good and there's bad, and the reality is that we will lose jobs. Look, there's nothing that can be said about it, and there will be. But more importantly, I don't think we'll lose as many jobs as we will tasks. There are things that we do now that are very human that most probably technology will do better or quicker or easier, or we'll just decide it's better for them to do it. And there's stuff that humans will do ongoing. And that's always, always, always been the battle, always.
Why is our default position to be, like, look after number one and say, oh, my God, it's going to finish me?
It actually is hardwired. It's physiologically hardwired into us as humans to always reject something that we don't know. That's exactly it, flight. Because if we go back, and I don't know, this is true, but this is the reports I've always read, and the basis I've always taken for this comment is if we go back into our earliest days, and I actually read a really interesting paper the other week, only for me, nobody else. I mean, interesting for me, not for anyone else.
Mm.
And that says that they've actually tracked it's not actually humankind, but about 3 million years earlier than we thought, and it's not human at all.
Yeah.
It was a very, very different species to us, from which we grew out of. But anyway, not digressing totally. What was hardwired into us in those days, the research to this day tells us, AI will come up with a different theory, I'm sure, next year when it understands better, is that when we saw something in our environment, we didn't really have a whole lot of time to analyze it. AI didn't exist.
Yes.
We literally had to flight or fight it. So what we did was to run, or to say it was negative, to go to that space first, because we could recover from that. In other words, if we went to the worst possible scenario and saved ourselves, even though we didn't have to, it was still time and effort well spent. But if we just accepted it and said, look, this thing will be okay, and it ate us, obviously, that wasn't a good thing. And that's been hardwired into us forever. It is always our default position. For some people, unfortunately, it remains stubbornly their every position.
Let's chuck in another element here. We're assuming consent across the board. Now, if we look at that article from ABC News, here you have your top professional voice guy who says, someone took away a part of me and used it without my knowledge or consent or choice. Now, that is where it gets iffy.
Oh, that's absolutely, absolutely not acceptable. One of the big conversations that's been had, and I'm not even sure if it's been resolved yet, is the notion of copyright and IP,
good luck with that.
Intellectual property. You know, the things that we can attribute sometimes to a piece of art or a piece of creation and say this is obviously the work of, and therefore they're entitled to it.
Yeah.
This hasn't yet been attributed, I don't think, wholly to voice. In the last year or two, there's been comments, now that it's synthesized, now that our voice is digital, we can actually attach to it a signature that's embedded in the code, which says that it's Morris's voice or Phil's voice,
like,
to those that want to look, and therefore can't be copied or whatever. But those are all notions yet that we have to prove and want to have. So voice is one of those last bastions where it's mine, but do you have the right to copy it and use it? We've had film stars in the last year or so that have battled that and won, who've said, look, this is my voice, stop using it.
Yeah, it's so easy to pinch as well. If I were to record our chat for the last few minutes, get about 25 minutes of it, cut me out, that would be enough to feed an AI to learn, kind of mostly learn your voice.
Phil, can I make that even more sinister for you? The only thing you're wrong is in the timing. I need about 30 seconds.
Yeah, to make it really good, though. I mean, to really...
There's actually some really, really good software around now that literally will do it. There's one called InVideo that you read for about 30 seconds and it will basically learn most of the nuances, most of your inflections. In other words, it'll be close enough to being your voice for most people, most of the conversations. Yeah. And that's 30 seconds. It's scarily quick.
Yeah. The sort of reality element to this one is it kind of wants to learn everything about your ups and downs and ins and outs, doesn't it? And if what you're saying is true, that's fabulous. Well, no, not fabulous.
Well, it's that double-edged sword. I mean, it can be absolutely fabulous. It can be absolutely terrifying and awful. One of the scams that are going around or starting to go around now, we're familiar, unfortunately, with the email scam, with the SMS scam, those things that come to us and says, click on this because something's happening, and we do, and we lose a whole lot of money or whatever we lose.
Yeah.
There are now voice scams going around, which are the voice of people that you know who you swear. I've not had one yet, but I've watched videos on them, who you swear are the people that you know are speaking to you, and it is absolutely 100% a scam being synthesized. Mm. That's a more scary thing.
And there's an assumption, I'm assuming, that you won't listen really carefully if it's a voice you know, because people talk about Cantonese and Putonghua being tonal languages. English is a tonal language, unless it really sits. You know, how's that? West Ham United 1, Arsenal 0. There's your tones. And you know which one lost and which one won. So if you concentrate on that, you will probably know it's not legit.
Not legit, but when you get a phone call from somebody who's maybe a relative or a daughter or something, and it's a bit distressed, you kind of go into that flight or fight mode too. And all of this is psychology. This is not, you know, me making up stories or you. It is the psychology behind these scammers. They know exactly what hot buttons to press. They know how hard to push it. So we need to be mindful and careful, and that's one of the reasons that we talked about that digital signature on our voice. Somehow, if we could incorporate that and be sure that these people we're speaking to or we're hearing from are the people that we think they are. I think that's an important step forward because I believe that will get even worse.
I think our conversation is becoming less about AI and more about the laws in the future to protect people.
Yeah. And they go hand in hand. I mean, ethics, the laws, the practices, all of that. But AI is such a new big field. It is absolutely the equivalent of the internet, where we rightly worried about whether we had the right to use it. Remember, people were pirating movies and pirating...
that horrible, though.
Pirating music and doing everything because the internet said... It was free. I mean, we thought it did because we could get to it and we could take it.
Yeah.
And this is not any different. AI is literally that frontier again. It is readily available. It is relatively free. It is accessible. And people are using it well and abusing it terribly.
When it comes to some of the music services, people get a bit vigilante. There's one very, very famous one, the most famous one, that is well known for apparently rooking artists, not paying them very much at all. So when it comes to that particular one, people just say, oh, to hell with you, I'm going to copy your music. You deserve it.
They do, but if we go back a little while, there were things that were literally just taking whole albums, whole songs, and, you know, we were downloading it and keeping it, and that was far worse. I mean, not that you can say either of them are better.
Oh, you mean that's
because people lose
tolerance.
And pirate and all those kind of places, Pirate Bay, all those kind of things. And they were unfortunately normal, didn't make them right, but they were normal and relatively acceptable. I'm saying that with AI, one of the things that all of us talk a lot about, the talk about AI, is the hope that we will not take as long as we did with the internet and social media and the others to button it down.
I'm really curious. I'm not challenging you.
No, you should be, because I don't know the answer, but I know that we have to attempt to do it. AI, in and of itself, should be able to help us if we can get digital sick. I know that, Phil, but if we're going to use the tool, if we're going to develop it, then let's see if it can do anything to help us to resolve it too.
Some of them already have a conscience, Morris. You ask them a question that it thinks is cheap. or insulting about somebody or something, and it will tell you, I can't answer that, it goes against my terms and conditions or something like that. So it's already got a conscience. It's already pious.
I think it has parameters rather than a conscience.
Well, you know what
I
mean.
It had a conscience. If it had, no, but conscience is a really important word, because if it did have that and we could give it that, then in fact this argument, you know, might not be as important, because it would determine with whatever parameters we give it that's all right. What that has is really just fencing put in by a marketing guru or somebody else that won't go any further beyond that point. But we do need to, and I don't know how, but because we don't know how doesn't mean we shouldn't try. We really should try and button this down as quickly as much as possible, because there is a strong reality that it will get abused and it will get abused badly.
You know what, if it really did have a conscience, Morris, then we'd be in for it, because, you know, people's degree of conscience is variable.
Well, wouldn't that be very Schwarzeneggerish, though, if it did?
Yeah.
I mean, if this thing really did have a conscience, and we allowed it to, we and it were allowed to think that it did exist, then it could make choices that I don't think any of us ever wanted to make.
I always like it when we come back to education. Now, we're sort of talking about cloned voices here, AI voices, and then the downside of it. It's just so funny. You know that thing about the broom says, I'm okay because my handle is made out of wood, and then it sweeps you away if you're a tree, or something like that. The voiceover artists spend so much time, a lot of them, teaching AI. I mean, I'm sure it's a good gig for them, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then it goes rogue.
Yeah. And in fact, the voice of Siri, whose name I cannot remember, she's made more money out of being the voice of Siri than she did out of voiceovers, because she's a voiceover artist. And she tells the tale how the recording of it only took her about 2 or 3 days. I mean, we're going back quite a while, and how it was diligent, and it was all the things that you said about tonality and phrasing. And that would be very different today. But in fact, she's become one of the most famous voices because of that, and has made the most money because of it. But it's only been about 3 days of her entire career.
I'll tell you what, Morris, the other day, when you get in like an Uber or whatever, the GPS thing, the best one ever, it was Goofy, the Disney character. And he goes, there's a speed camera up there. Can I eat it? Arr, arr, arr. I thought that was amazing. I couldn't stop listening.
My favourite one is William Shatner.
Oh, really?
I love his voice. Yeah, I used to have it on one of my GPSs, and it was very. And of course, nobody else but Star Trek. You know, it was just down that road. But William Shatner, with the comedy involved, it was very, very funny.
Brilliant stuff, Morris. Just thought we'd chuck that round a little bit. I mean, what was the article all about? I know it's ABC News, but I'm wondering why it's there. It looks like a sort
it was
of
there,
featuring
it was there
piece.
Really on. It was there on the back end of the Scarlett Johansson, which, ChatGPT voice that was taken over, also because there were the strikes in America. What we were saying in Australia was that even though we're all the way down here, we feel it just as much, and the ABC was taking that cause up on behalf of voice actors and others, saying we also will not allow voices to be stolen or used for free, and you have to be mindful and careful. Can I give you the positive side, though, Phil? You know, I always love a positive side of this voice cloning.
Go on.
It again goes back to medicine, it goes back to disability, where I've actually seen voice cloning being a wonderful thing, giving voice to people with Alzheimer's and people that have lost their voice for whatever reason. They're now able to, if this empted, they're able to store their voice by doing the training and then use other devices when their voice is lost to continue to give them a semblance of voice. I think that's a really good use for this.
And that's a nice bounce off to what we might talk about in the future. In the meantime, I can hear you, Clem Fandango. Morris, take care. Lovely speaking with you.